We have a special guest with us today, Brian Duncan. He is a multiple Dove and Grammy award-winning artist, and he's a dear friend of ours, and we're going to be blessed by his story today and what God has laid on his heart. I know you guys will be blessed, and he's going to sing for us. So, Brian, God bless you, buddy.
Turn out. Good morning. Thanks for having me back. You know, this is a really kind of a miracle. You know, I'm usually not invited back after the first time. So I'm real excited to see you. A lot of new faces since the last. How many were here when I was here last? Well, good, because I'm going to play the same songs that I did then. And just act like they're new to you.
There you go.
I'm going to be speaking also, I guess. we'll see how that works out. Joe is doing a series called Greater Than I. He is greater than I. And I will be talking about he is greater than I when God doesn't make sense. And I hope I can get this into just 30 minutes because I got a lot to say about that. But in the meantime, 45. Oh yeah, 45? He keeps stretching it out. You know, I don't speak for a living, and I hated speech class. I don't know if you guys were in class then. It's like just terrified. I like to write my own songs because I don't know how to play anybody else's. So I like to just do this song. It's something my dad used to say when people would ask him how he was. He says, I got them right where they want me. But that's what we're talking about today, is not understanding where God is. It doesn't make any sense to you. I'd like to dedicate this song to me. So it goes like this. You guys can listen in, though.
Keep me planted, we're picking fruit.
Thank you very much. Wait a minute. That's not. Wait. That's not it. Thanks. It's so good to be here. I'm just a little nervous about doing the talking portion of. And last time I wanted to look good in the first service, and I got a fear, and I forgot the words to this next song, and then I tried to dial them up while the song was playing, and then the whole song stopped. This is just so typical of how God keeps me humble. Just doesn't let me look good while I'm doing His work. And that's really what we want, isn't it? It's I want to look good while I'm serving Jesus, and that isn't working out too well. I'm just getting to the point now, though, where I kind of starting to understand what following God is all about. I need to follow Him because there is a God, and I'm not Him. So I'd like to just do this little song because I heard a guy. He's down in San Diego, a worship leader. And he's like in his 30s, but I mean, he's got a couple of little kids. I mean, I was thinking about him with these little kids up here, about that age. And he says, I'm fighting cancer. I have, you know, some colon cancer. And, you know, he said, but that's not my story. He says, you know, I'm serving Christ, and wherever He takes me, whatever He wants to do, I'm there. That's my story. And I just thought, wow, that is worth remembering. So I just like wrote a song for it. It goes like this. This is really cool. I'm putting fires out while wrestling my disease. A fight for my future always brings me to my knees. I'm not complaining, I'm just arguing my stand. Well, all the walls are falling round my castle's made of sand. Gotta rally through the valley, right where all the shadows fall. And hurry through the worry, even if I have to crawl. But that's not my story, that's just my circumstance. This comes to glory, cause I ain't here by chance. That's not my story, just where Jacob's ladder stands. This close to angels, we're this close to angels. Wondering why the wicked seems so strong. Can't help but think of what I must be doing wrong. Don't seem to suffer, not like anyone I know. I'm making sense of breaking through where I must go. Gotta rally through the valley, right where all the shadows fall. Hurry through the worry, even if I have to crawl. But that's not my story, that's just my circumstance. This close to glory, yeah, cause I ain't here by chance. That's not my story, that's the part you're supposed to be screaming along with, you know. That's not my story, yeah. Woo. Back in the day when love was X's and O's, and not a clue about the way that a fragile romance grows. Hacking away the name and the claim of our own till we finally attained a significant flame. Then the burden of pain steps in. Sun is replaced and the rain sets in. Original sin and the lights grow dim. Nobody saw the trouble we all began. Yeah, He's still redeeming. Everyone has a checkered past. A wicked list that we checked what we thought would last. But in the end, it would lend to a feeling. Guilty futility, squandered ability. Somebody right couldn't guarantee anything. Justify what you want, bring what you want to bring. They can't figure out where you got all the suffering. That's not my story. You ever recognize your life sometimes? And then the next day, you feel like you're in a whole other parallel universe?
That's not my story.
Well, that's not my story. That's just my circumstance. This close to glory. Oh, 'cause you ain't here by
that's
chance.
That's not my story.
That's not my story. It's just where Jacob's ladder stands. This close to angels. We're this close to angels, ladies and gentlemen. Wait a minute. These new things, you know, this is my band. They're from Japan. I'm grateful, you know, you had the child dedication. I'm so grateful I had kids because I wouldn't know what was going on in the world today. They teach me about these things. You know, this is why God doesn't explain to you what you'll be doing in 10 years. Because it wouldn't have made any sense to me to realize that 6,000 songs and a camera and everything you can possibly shake a stick at, check your bank stuff, and there's a little woman in here and she talks to you out of nowhere. You can ask her anything. She pretty much sounds like my wife. Well, there you are. Here, I'm going. Cool beans. I'm not a speaker. I just play one right now. Just give you a little bit of my story for some, because a lot of you didn't raise your hand. You've been here before, so which is cool. I could probably do the same sermon every week, and it would sound brand new. I'm a Pentecostal preacher's kid. I grew up in church my whole life, so I was a little worried that maybe I don't have anything to say to you that you might understand. But you know, if you were here last week, Joe was pointing out that we have our conceptions of who God is and what he's going to do. We even have pictures of him in our head, don't we? You know, a lot of people have that picture of Jesus with the little goatee and the, you know, shiny forehead that they always made him look like that was kind of holy, as if your forehead was sweaty. You know, I never got that one. And then, of course, there's the other image that you might have, the crown of thorns. He's hanging, and he looks really kind of pathetic, if you ask me. It's like it's not a, doesn't look like he's, you know, a victorious God that I know. I was watching the news the other day, and this guy says, well, thank the baby Jesus that we didn't lose this. And I'm going, what? Jesus hasn't been a baby for a long time. You know, clearly, he hasn't spent any time with Jesus. You know, but that's his image. That's his image of what he thinks God is, or what Jesus is. And we all have something. We all have something that we think about when we picture Christ. Nowadays, I close my eyes. I don't see anything, you know, but I know him. I know him. And so I'd just like to talk a little bit today about when God doesn't make sense. I've had recent experiences with this, and I've grown up in church my whole life, and you'd think that you would eventually get to a place where you were strong enough to just strut through your faith and not have any problems. Don't you feel like that ought to be the case? Because I used to think, you know, that getting older, you know, when you got to be like 50, that you knew everything, and then you sat on the porch, and, you know, and life was fine. Man, I was disappointed that now you got to learn how to do more stuff with less. You got no effort. You can't move. Half of your body doesn't work. So I'm just saying that we all have a conception of who God is. We all think we know what he wants from us. We all think that we know what he wants us to do. And as I've grown in the knowledge of my Savior, start to realize that His primary interest is he has not called you to do stuff. You know, I grew up with this thing where it was our job to evangelize the world, and which is a great thing, by the way, but to go out and save people. The problem is people kept being born, kind of like, you know, now I see these kids as like they're the replacements. But eventually, you know, I spent all my time thinking, God wants me to do something for him. You know? And that's not the point. The point, eventually, I changed my tack thinking, well, you know, I know what I'll do. I'll become God's marketing director. Because, you know, he gets a lot of bad press. I don't know if you've noticed that. People take his name in vain. And, you know, and then when ugly things happen, you know, there's no God. Everybody's like, they mock him and they talk behind his back. Well, they think they're talking behind his back. He doesn't have a back. But I just felt like it was my job, you know. I've got to make God look good to you. We're Christians, you know. Look how fun we're, look how much fun we're having, you know. Christians can play music just as good as anybody. I'm going, what's that all about? I mean, who cares? Who cares? God is going to get your attention one way or another. It's just a matter of losing the luxury of cynicism. You know what I mean? So when people talk about how they don't believe in God, or they don't think, you know, well, I, you know, doesn't fit, you know, there's a lot of things that don't make any sense. The Bible contradicts itself all the time. You know, I used to get really riled, like I needed to fix that. I'm going, you know, I'll just give them a little time. Because at some point, there is a God, and you're not him. And that's all I'm saying about that. So, I had an experience just a month ago, where I really came to the, shook me to the foundations. I was getting my car fixed, and I was just literally minutes from where the San Bernardino shooting was. They, you know, they probably kept a lot of the details of that thing out. But it was an ugly thing. It was an ugly thing. Picture 35 people in a small room, and then spray the place down with bullets. Can't imagine what a mess that place was. And how many people died, didn't deserve to die. And all because somebody was misled. They thought God wanted them to do something for him. I learned really quickly. I spent a lot of my time looking at God to see what I could do for him, instead of looking to God to see what he could do for me. What he could do for me. If you're going to try to fix the world by yourself, you're just going to be angry and frustrated, like so many people are who just go out there and start shooting people. It's not God's plan. That's man's plan. It's somebody trying to make everyone bend to their conception who God is. Not going to work. Not going to work. So, about 3 days, I sat on my back porch and I could not get over it. You know, I wanted to fix it. I have a conception of what justice looks like. And I wanted to kill people. I wanted to kill people too. I'm going, well, how does that make me different than those people? And God puts us in a place in our lives that we don't understand. We can't even explain it, you know. The best thing you can do is shut up. Just shut up. You know, God doesn't need you to defend him. He doesn't need you to explain everything to him. He uses every circumstance in this life to speak to the souls of people. Speak to them. And, you know, I was reading about the idea that Oswald Chambers calls it being an amateur providence in someone else's life. Oh, they will not suffer, and I will see to it that they don't. It's kind of a codependent way of thinking. Because if you focus on fixing somebody else, maybe you don't have to look at your own life. You know, I'll just focus all my energy. And it looks like Christianity, but it's not. It's codependent. They shall not suffer, and I shall see to it that they don't. You have no idea what God is doing in the world every day. And the way he speaks to people is through how we listen best. It's not words. He doesn't stick his head out of the clouds and say, because we all have a different impression of what he said. He speaks to us in the way we hear best. You know what that is? Your circumstances. When things don't go where you want, and when things don't make an ounce of sense, that's how he gets your attention. And after about 3 days, thinking about the San Bernardino thing, and it just, you know how it is, you know, the heaviness in your soul. You just feel like God ought to fix something or knock some people off. And my wife said something that was really incredibly profound that I wrote down after about 3 days. It was, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. It doesn't make sense, And she says this to me, if you're going to have faith, you will have to do without understanding. Let me just pray with you. If you're going to have faith, you will have to do without understanding. I mean, it just never, out of all the time I've been a Christian, I've never crossed my mind. As we see this scripture, that one that everybody quotes all the time, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. I just kind of blew right through the, don't lean on your understanding. The thing about Scripture is sometimes God will stop you mid-sentence, make you think about one part of the sentence. Does that happen to you guys? It's the fine print. I'm starting to realize, wow, now I want to understand, and I don't want to do anything in obedience to God that doesn't make sense to me. And I've discovered that leaning on my own understanding has more to do with my pride. I want to look good while I'm serving Christ. I don't want to look like an idiot. I've seen people do things in the name of God that, clearly a little out of balance. And so I worry about that. I want to look good when I'm serving God. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. In fact, every time. The thing that I've learned about God is He won't do anything the same way twice. He's creative. He thinks in a million different ways. And we just, if He healed people the same way, we would get it down to, four easy steps and we would forget about Him altogether. It's also why ministries don't win the lottery. Because you'd stop praying. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I'm an old man at this point, and I still want to lean on my understanding. Because we're taught education is the highest principles. Learn everything you can. That's great. It's great news. But when it comes to spirituality, you can't find God in your head. You can't find God in your head. You can only find Him in your heart. And it's hard because if we know stuff and we can explain it to other people, then we can control stuff. And don't we just want to control our lives? And that's why trusting God is so hard, because He doesn't let you control anything. He doesn't even tell you what you're going to do tomorrow, and it's really annoying. And found myself, I don't know about you, but I found myself, I'm not talking to God for several days because I'm mad at Him. He's not filling me in. You know why? Because I love God and I have a wonderful plan for His life. And He's not getting back to me on it. Here's another scripture you hear all the time, and you get really, I kind of roll my eyes after a while because it seems so cut and paste. You ever hear people just throw scriptures out like they're throwing, flipping beer cans or something? There's this scripture. Is it going right there? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hot dog, the money's coming tomorrow. The check is in the bank. I'm going to look good serving God right here because He has plans to prosper me. Now, doesn't that the way it sounds? You? I should win the lottery. So. But I don't know if you've read the entire chapter. He was talking to the children of Israel right there, and they had just been captured by the Babylonian Empire and hauled back to Babylon to live in slavery. And God says, for I know the plans I have for you, that they are good. Go ahead and go to the next thing. Long time. Oh, this is the next part. They're going to be in slavery. He goes on, he says, get married, have kids, plant gardens and eat from that, and live there. What they don't tell you right there is like it was 70 years. They lived in slavery for 70 years. And at the top of the verse, it says, I know the plans I have for you for good and to prosper you. And that doesn't look like prospering to me. Slavery? I beg your pardon? And then you look at this scripture and it's like, I'm getting confused here, but there's one part, it's verse 19 where he says, you're going to be here a long time. There's a promise nobody claims. Just think about that for a second. Number one, I have a plan for your life, and it's good. It's good. Now you're going to be in slavery for 70 years. Not to worry. Basically, God was saying, get used to it. That doesn't seem like a plan to me. I don't like that plan. My favorite scripture is one that I've never heard quoted ever. You want to know what it is? It's in the longest chapter in the Bible, and I think most people just missed it because, you know, we don't read long chapters. I mean, in devotions, we try to find the one with only six verses in it. Psalm 119:71. Let's look at it. You got it up there? There it is. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. What? What? No wonder we don't quote that one. Hey, it's just great being in affliction, isn't it? Actually, I like the King James Version. It says, how's it go? It says, the sufferings you sent were good for me. They caused me to consider your principles. They caused me to consider your principles. God speaks to us through our circumstances because we don't hear Him any other way. This is how He gets our attention. And you see stuff happen that doesn't make sense to you. And you can't imagine why God would allow that. But God knows what He's doing. And He speaks to everybody. He speaks to the whole world about how they aren't in control of anything. That He is greater than I. He's greater than you, and He's greater than them. And the only way we seem to hear that is when we come to the end of our rope, and we see that in recovery all the time. You know, we come to the bottom, and it really dawns on us that we don't have any control over anything. It's an illusion that we like to set up. We set up our little kingdoms, and it feels really good until you've got all the money in the world, and you got this big house, and then you get a call from the doctor, and you've got cancer. Well, now you know. You don't have any control. That's why I follow Jesus. Well, I follow Jesus for a number of reasons. I follow Jesus because I can't fix you, and I wish somebody would. I'm just saying. As a musician, you know, I've had to work just about every possible configuration of a job that you can imagine. Any musicians in the crowd, you know that you're waiting tables and you're delivering pizza and Thank you. See that hand. I got this one job, you know, several years ago, because I needed some work, because, you know, music doesn't pay the bills very well. And the guy said, I'm building a house. Building a house, and I could use your help, and I'll pay you to come. And he gave me an address. So the first day I get up there, I show up, and I'm thinking, you know when you say, well, we're going to build a house. Don't you have a picture of a house in your head? You know, you got a picture of it. It looks like this. Maybe it's double wide. Maybe it's a trailer. I don't know how it goes. But you already have a picture in your head about what the house looks like. And I show up the first day for work. And there's nothing. It's just a vacant lot. There's not even any houses next to it. It's out in the desert. There it is. There's two cactuses and nothing. We're building a house. And for the first week, he had a little tripod out there, and I stood there with a stick and just held it in place, and he'd tell me to move over here and move over here. I don't see how this is building a house. And then we're stretching strings, driving stakes in the ground. At the end of a week, it still is a vacant lot with some sticks sticking up. The next week, we're doing something else. He's like, now we're digging holes. We're just digging. I'm going, I didn't sign on to be a ditch digger. This isn't what I like. We're digging trenches, footings for the foundation. And after a week, just a big piles of dirt all over the field. There's nothing, and there's big holes in the ground now. Now, this doesn't feel like we're building a house. And I remember the thing that he said to me, as I'm going, you know, this, I don't see how this applies to building a house. And he said, it's the same plan, different day. Same plan, different day. It doesn't look the same. As your life progresses, your plan from God might not look like it did yesterday. It may not look like it did last week. Suddenly, you know, you go from holes in the ground to a truck pulls up and dumps all kinds of concrete all over your brand new holes and fills it in. Because you've got that picture in your head, that expectation that this is the way a house would look. Eventually, he took me inside and showed me the plans. I said, man, I really just like to see what the heck we're doing, because, you know, this doesn't look like a house in any stretch of the imagination. And then I was thinking he was going to show me a little model of a house, and it would be all perfect, and it'd be like three-dimensional and be really cool. He says, oh, you want to see the plans for the house? Cool. And I went into this little shack, and he had a four-foot-wide, three-foot-this-big stack of blueprints. And it was that thick, that thick. And every single page looked different from the last one. You look at it, this look, you mean, I'm going, where's the house? He said, these are the stages that you go through. The stages that you go through to build a house. And the last thing you get to see in a house is when it's all finished. The thing is, God is not finished with any of it. And you got to understand, it's like what I love to say about circumstances. When you wake up and you lost your job, your car blew up, two payments before you had it finished paid off. Same plan, different day. Same plan, different day. And I got to tell you, it never finishes in this lifetime. I think that's why he invented eternity. So. Because, you know, if you don't learn to trust God, he'll kind of keep you in the same place for a while. So I'm going, if you got a bad circumstance, get right on it. God, show me what you need me to learn because I went out of here. And that prayer works, actually. So I'd like to close the talking part of this thing. I'm just speaking from my own experience of following Christ. Doesn't do anything the way I plan, and I get irritated, you know, because I want to control things. How many of you have seen that movie? It's kind of old now. It's called The Sixth sense. You hear this? Oh, five of you. Wasn't that great a movie? But here's the thing. I'm watching this movie, and they tell you this whole story. And at the very end of the movie, they give you one piece of information about what's happening, and it changes the whole story. You're going, oh my gosh. Then you have to go back and watch it going, oh yeah, remember this? That's what this means. Well, this, you know, see what he did there? The whole story was different than what you thought you were watching. And this is what I believe, or why I believe, that our testimonies aren't even our testimonies. You might have a fragment of where you've been in the past, but there's a different day coming, and you don't know your testimony. You know, I remember thinking when I was younger, I'd come in and hear these guys do these great evangelistic crusades, and the guy would get up and talk about all the crap he did when he was a heathen. And I always felt bad because I grew up in church, and I was a good kid for the most part. Okay, I really wasn't, but, you know, I felt like a good kid. And I remember being embarrassed because I didn't have a testimony. I mean, I hadn't killed anybody, didn't rob any banks, you know, I wasn't drugs and alcohol. So I went out and got some of those things. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, we all need an excuse. I'm just going, hey, I'm just working on my testimony. That didn't pan out really well. And now I don't like giving my testimony because it's just a litany of crap I did wrong. You know what the purpose is for your circumstances and the stuff that you go through every day, and maybe it's different every day? You know what the purpose is? The Bible says that God allows sufferings and inconsistencies in your life so that you may know Him. You may know Him. That's the main reason that you come to Christ. He wants you to know Him. Mm-hmm. Oh, where was I at? I'm still thinking about knowing Him because, you know, God's really big and He's got some huge personality things. You know, it just almost feels like a disorder. He wants you to know Him. He does not call you to a particular thing. It's not about what you can do for God. It's about what He wants to do for you. And I don't know how that gets twisted every time, but I got a corkscrew for a brain, and it just flips all the time. I need to know God. I need to know. And the one time that I get in touch with Him the most, when it gets desperate, when my circumstances are ugly, when I'm dealing with emotions and feelings that I don't like myself, I don't even like them, but they're here. Can't deny that they're not here. God uses your circumstances so that you may know Him, that you close your eyes and say, forgive me, I have no idea what's going on. And it's hard. You know, that first salvation prayer is a great thing, and there's this just joy about that. Wait till you've been a believer for years, and you still have to say that prayer. I am not in control. God is greater than I. Greater than I when He doesn't make sense. He knows what He's doing, and I don't. So I'd just like to finish this part of the thing. Step 11, I thought I was in rehab eventually, because, you know, my testimony didn't turn out too well. But if you've grown up with God your whole life, it's really hard to find recovery because you feel like you already know this stuff. I made a conscious decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood it. Yeah, well, I already did that, and look where that got me. I only thought that I did that, really. And when we get to step 11, I just got to tell you, it took me 6 years to get 90 days. Thank you very much. Because I get to step 11, and I'm going, we sought to improve our conscious contact with God. Really didn't know how to do that. I still don't really know how to do that. I know that it has a lot to do with acknowledging who's bigger than you. And I know that it has a lot to do with sitting still, which I don't do very well either. Called attention deficit disorder, I think. But, you know, if I sit still and learn it the first time, maybe I won't have to go back around the block with God on things. That we may improve our conscious contact with God. Primarily wants us to know Him. Because at the end of this life, one of the main reasons I follow Christ is because this is temporary. This is temporary. It's dang right scary because I've been singing at more funerals than concerts lately. And it starts to realize, I mean, God spoke to me not too long ago and said, you know, life is a path, not a parking lot. And I mean, it's real easy to want to get comfortable. I get my house and my things together. I'm going to get all my ducks in a row. But this is moving on. It's moving on, and you will move on. Best thing you can know in your life is the Creator of the universe, and know that He loves you. And the peace that I hope to have when I go will be the best thing ever. And that's why I'm still here, to follow Christ. And I make constant mistakes all the time. So I'd just like to close with this song, okay? I had this one thing I wanted to say. It was right here. Where was it? Where was that one thing? Oh, yeah, see, you know, if you underline stuff in yellow, then I don't see it. It's like, I have a yellow blindness. It says, do not look for God to come in a particular way. Do not look for God to come in a particular way. Live in a constant state of expectancy and leave room for God to come in as He decides. Can you do that? If you want to have faith in Him, you will have to do without understanding. And you have to start looking. Because I don't believe there are any circumstances that are coincidence. God designs our steps from the get-go, and there is something to be seen and found in knowing God and knowing Him through the circumstances that we will face. So I'd like to do this little song. It goes, this originally was a kind of a Caribbean thing. But my wife didn't like it, and she thought it would kind of trivialize the song, so I'm going to try to straighten it out for all you white people. So the song goes like this. I see you watching over me every day in another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me, and all I want to do is thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, that's the whole thing. So, you ready? And just sing this with me, and it'll make me look like a worship leader, and I could get a job somewhere. That'd be good. All right. I see you watching over me. Stand every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. And all I want to do is thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right, it goes. Under a bridge or up on a mountain, see you in everything like stars I'm counting. Streets of gold or just mud and gravel, you're always with me on this road I travel. Straight and narrow, goes up and down, and there ain't a place for me to turn around in. But I can make it cause you're waving me through, yeah. See the signs that I do, I find you. I see you watching over me every day.
another way that I can see your love. Help I can use, oh, none to speak of. No way I'm gonna lose. I trust in your love. Whatever comes, I'd rather face it all together. I see a clue, know it's you, I remember. I see you watching over me. Every day another way that I can see your love. And I see you looking out for me. And all
it's always good to thank twice.
Thank you, thank you.
Woo! All right. Let's thank.
In ways no one can see. Show no one but me. Remind me that you're here. When all things are possible, but not so easy.
Woo! Break it down. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, thank you.
I'd like to thank these people over here.
Thank you, thank you.
I'd like to thank these people in the middle right here.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Well, that went better than I thought.
Yeah. You guys want one more? Can you give us one more?
I could.
All right.
You guys want...
I'm going to be up here with him. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would. I knew that I would. Hey, so good, so good, so good. I got you.
Nothing that rhymes right there. Oh, I made this up according to James Brown. The scriptures are according to James Brown.
I feel fine. I don't know where we're going in the name. I feel fine. Oh, but I feel fine. Oh, it's so fine. So fine. 'Cause I got you.
Got some CDs in back. He'll sign them. He'll autograph them too for you if you want to get those. Hey, remember, no matter what you're going through, plan's the same. The day's different. Plan is the same. Isn't that awesome? Let me pray for you guys. Thank you, Brian, so much. He's going on tour, so we won't see him for a while. With his whole band. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord God, I pray for everyone in here that you'll continue to bless them and guide them, God. I pray that as we move forward in our lives from this place today, we'll remember that you've got the same plan working. It's just a different page. Same plan, different day. So, God, we thank you for that word. I pray that it would burrow deep into our souls and that we would remember that, that when we don't understand, it's the same plan, different day. And we bless your name. And all God's kids said, all right, have a great day.